Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
In the different books, that can become somewhat of an assignment for you for the summer, something to focus in on. So you could be reading Philippians. So you could either do it before the particular weekend or after we actually minister. So we're going to be in chapter 3 today, and I'm going to pull just a couple of thoughts out of a section of Philippians 3. But there are literally dozens of truths just in that chapter alone. So I would challenge you to read that chapter and find out what God will teach you. The Holy Spirit's the teacher, and He will teach you things out of that book. So use it as a reading time. So this week you could read Philippians 3, or you could jump ahead and read Philippians chapter 4 as we approach Father's Day next weekend. So we've been in chapter 1, we've been in chapter 2, now we're in chapter 3. Life's too short, enjoy it is the overall theme we've chosen for these five times we'll be together. The meaning behind that is, as you read Paul's words, you find that there's a message. And I think the message is listen, take advantage of every opportunity and every situation and every circumstance. Don't allow the situations and circumstances deter you or detour you from God's purposes or God's will. If we allow that to happen, how many know that most of the time we'd just be dealing with the problems and we wouldn't be moving ahead? You don't stop because problems come your way. You ask God, what is in this that I can learn? And that's what Paul did. Paul's actually in prison when he writes this. So he writes in a very positive way, from a very worldly way, it would be a negative situation. So life's too short. Enjoy it. Get everything out of it that you can. See God in it all. Look for the opportunities to minister God's love and God's grace as you go through it. Now we're going to look at verses 12 through 16. As you see there, we're going to read those. And our topic for today will be reaching for the prize. And that's what Paul talks about here, reaching for the prize. So let's look at Philippians chapter 3. And let me read those particular verses. Paul said, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Once again, Paul is talking about growth. He's talking about spiritual growth. He's talking about opportunities to move ahead and grow in our faith. I can't just say that Paul just talks about growth. I think a lot of the writers talk about spiritual growth. I think that's a big part of what it's all about. It's a big part of why we're here. Oh, we're here to share God's grace and the good news of the gospel for sure. But how many know the best way to share the good news of the gospel and the power of God is through a transformed life? That's it. When your life is transformed in Christ, that's the greatest testimony or story to your family. It's not so much what you speak to them, it's how you live your life before them. So that's the work of God in your life. So growth is important. So I just put down the question there, why grow? Let me just give you two basic reasons why we should determine and be intentional. You know, if you're not intentional about it, it's just not going to happen. There are too many things to get in the way, but being intentional about growing spiritually. Number one, it glorifies God. Your growing in your faith brings glory to God. I've already mentioned why. When someone looks at your life, as they looked at my life, and they say, wow, it had to take something that was more than natural to change him or her. It had to be something supernatural, and it really points them to God changing your life. 2 Peter in chapter 3 says, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. There's so much for us to know and learn about Jesus, about God the Father, God the Son, about God the Holy Spirit. There's so much for us to learn about His ways, His dealings with us, that it's going to take more than a life, and I guess it's going to take eternity. And if you're a believer in Christ, you have eternity. The second reason why we should grow, it is the only way to live a truly joyful, abundant life. I don't think that if you're not intentional about growing, that the joy that God talks about, the abundant life that He talks about, comes from growing spiritually. Growth produces the fruit of joy. Growth kind of is an indicator that there's a usefulness about your life. And when you begin to find there's a usefulness about your life, you begin to take ownership. You get more involved in it rather than just a drifter through life itself. So those are good reasons for growing. We want to grow. I want to grow. I want to continue to grow. Paul is talking about that. Now, the words that he uses, or the theme that he uses, something he must have been either athletic himself or he loved athletes or athletic events. He talks about it all the time. He talks about races. He talks about competition. He talks about crowns, them receiving perishable crowns versus we receive imperishable. So he had athletic activities on his mind, and he used those as analogies for teaching spiritual truths. So as a result of it, we find him talking about it again. So there are certain principles that we can glean from these verses that we just read, principles for pursuing what Paul is talking about here, a prize. So let's talk about it. Let's talk about these principles. The first principle is this, and that is, it comes out of verse 12. If you look at the first part of verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. That's how Paul starts out. So here's the first principle. Awareness of the need to pursue a better condition. There needs to be an awareness that of a need to pursue a better condition. Now note, I didn't say a better position. Your position is secure in Christ. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you have a position. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ. It's something that happens because of grace. It's nothing you do. You can't earn it. It's given to you. So you have this position. You become a son. You become a daughter. You become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I could go on and on and on of all the blessings because of your salvation. But how about condition? So there has to be an evaluation. And that has to be an ongoing thing. It doesn't just happen at the beginning of your walk with Christ. Paul's at the end of his life. Paul's evaluating his own life right now. And what Paul is actually saying, he said, I don't have it all together. How many could say that? Be honest, okay? Those of you who do not have your hand down, up, you're in trouble. You're in denial, you're lying, you're doing all kinds of things. And I don't have it all together. I haven't arrived. Here's another translation, says it this way. I don't claim that I've already succeeded or become perfect. Now, if for some reason you don't believe that, ask your mate or ask your best friend. They should let you know, and they probably do from time to time. Now, Paul's had a tremendous life. Think about how successful Paul has been. I mean, here's a guy that has all these PhDs and THDs and MDDs and all these other things behind his name. He's studied with the best of them. He's planted churches. He's been missionary. He's in prison. So his life has been full in every respect, and yet he said, I haven't arrived. I'm still growing. One thing I've learned about successful people, they never stop growing. And I don't care what line of work you're in, successful people always want to learn. They always want to grow. They're always thinking for better ways of doing it. Doesn't matter their age. They're always developing, they're growing, they're expanding, they're learning. Did you ever notice this? that we're better at inventorying other people and see where they're, where they need to change more than we're looking at ourselves and our need to change? I can tell you without even hesitation, here's where you need to change. But why all the reservation and looking inside and seeing the same thing in myself? I guess that's what Paul's trying to convey here. You need to take a moment and be aware of where you're at. Spiritual progress starts with an awareness of where you're at right now. I don't think you can get a past first base if you don't deal with that. So Paul said, I haven't received. That's what he said. I haven't grasped. I haven't seized. I haven't attained. And that's where growth begins. Remember last week I mentioned a couple of things I'd just like to repeat. Paul had this holy discontent. Not an unholy discontent. Not discontent with life itself, but a holy discontent. Something still stirring in his life. Dissatisfaction where he's at. He wanted more in his relationship with Christ. There was a recognition that was taking place. The second thing then Paul goes on to say, and it's the latter part. He not only says, I haven't arrived. He said, I press on. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. And here's how I put down this one. Go for it. I think the second principle is you got to go for it. Keep those words alive in your heart. I want to go for it. I want to go for the prize. I want to attain to where God wants me to be. So I want to go for it. I want to press on. I want to run after, follow after, pursue, chase. Paul said, I'm running after this thing with all my might. And guess what? Paul was running to win. I don't think it was a prideful approach to life. I think if you're involved in something, you better be involved in it to win. I mean, you're starting out on the wrong foot and you're already behind. If you don't expect to win, why even get in it? Well, there's a realization of your skills and what you really can do, but go for it. And that's what Paul was saying here. He wanted to go for it. He wanted to win. He wanted to lay hold, look at this, of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Here's what we learned from this. My goal, your goal, has to be consistent with Christ's goal. If it's not, it's not going to work. He saved you for a purpose. His purpose must become your purpose. His goal must become your goal. I want for me what he wanted for me. Romans chapter 8 is a great chapter, but there are two verses there, verses 28 and 29. I didn't get them on your notes or on the screen, but I think you're familiar with those verses. In essence, here's what they say, that we're called according to his purpose. Remember it says, all things work out for the good to all those who are called according to his purposes. You got to put those two together. Things are going to work out for your good if you're lining up with the purposes that God has for you. It makes sense. If you're going this way and your desires are not God's desires, your will is not God's will, and your longings are not God's longings, you're going down two different roads leading in two different directions. But look what he says, called according to his purposes, note here, to become conformed to the image of his son. He tells us what his purpose is. Sometimes when we think of purposes, we think that we have this box that's just filled with all kinds of options. Well, I have all these purposes I can have in life. Well, that might be true to a certain extent, but let me tell you, there is one purpose that is above all other purposes, and that is to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the purpose for your life. That's why we live. That's why we're still here. I fear that sometimes we come into this relationship and we take for granted, that's a given. Yeah, of course, I want to be conformed. I want to change. I want to take on more of the character of Christ. But here's what I see happening, is that is a purpose, but then we have all these other purposes, and we put these other purposes on the same level as that purpose. Now, you know what's going to happen is that you're going to give time. You want to give time to all those purposes, but you end up divvying up a certain amount of time for that key purpose as much as you're divvying up the time for this purpose here to succeed in business or even a relationship or other. Is this making sense? So when you divide, you don't have enough time to divvy up yourself. You've got to keep the purposes of Christ up here. That's got to be number one, to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's got to be number one. It's got to be, that's got to be the goal. That's got to be the finish line. The finish line is, I want to be conformed to the image of Christ. I want to be more Christ-like. So my prayer needs to be my first prayer. And every launching out at any desire, any position, any direction in life, that has got to be high up on the list. Let me give you a little example. I use Cheryl and myself. Cheryl and I met back in 1972. This coming December will be our 40th anniversary. Do you believe that? So it's been a long time we've been together. But I remember those first days. First of all, I was falling in love with a woman that I know loved Jesus with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. Matter of fact, there wasn't a competition, but I knew if I wanted her, I better want Jesus. Because if I didn't want Jesus, she didn't want me. It was clear, black and white. If you know Cheryl, it was black and white. So there she was, pursuing, and I thought, wow. And I did want Jesus. And I'm fortunate. I love, when I was saved and brought out, when I was brought out, I fell in love with Jesus, and I wanted him more than anything else. So here's what we had, and I counsel this way to any young couple or any couple, and here's what happens too many times. Sometimes when we come to those defining moments in our life, like marriage or a job, a position, or whatever it might be, we tend to do this. We tend to turn and spend their time trying to develop that relationship or that goal or pursue that direction. And I think that's wrong. Here's the way I saw our relationship, that she was going for it, I'm going for it, we're going to keep going for it, we're not going to stop going for it. It didn't matter how much we love one another or love spending time together, we were not going to stop and do this. We were going to do this. Let it come together. Everything you pursue, when you go for it, you have to go for it like that. Whether it be a business deal, whether it be something in the marriage, does this make sense? You want to keep your eyes on the goal line. You want to see that, and you go for it like that. It'll make the biggest difference in the life. Putting it first. Now, think back at some of the scriptures you probably know by heart. Isn't that the message of the gospel? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what? He'll give you the clothes. He'll give you the house. He'll give you the money you need. All these things will fall into place if you have that goal out there. And here's the question. Is that what you have out there every day? Every moment of the day, you know what should be out there? Jesus, I want to fall in love with you more and more. I want to know more about you. Lord, I want to respond to situations like you would respond. I want to be Christ-like. So I'm calling on the power of God's Spirit, not necessarily bring me a breakthrough on the job that I need a raise, and that's a good prayer. But my first prayer, Lord, I want a breakthrough in becoming more like you. You'll be surprised. The more you pray that kind of prayer, these other things will just fall in place. They'll just happen. You'll spend less time praying over those things if you pray over the main goal. And that, to me, is the main goal. Lifelong pursuit of Christ-likeness. Look at that verse you see in your notes there in 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. Paul said it again. He said, I'm going to run in such a way as to get the prize. That's what Paul was going to do. Running after with his all heart. Let me give you a third one. So there's awareness of where you're at and for a better condition. There's a pressing on now. I'm aware, but I'm going to press on. I'm going to ask God to help me in these areas that I need help. The third area, focus. You got to have focus. Concentration. Verse 13. Look at what verse 13 said. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Say one thing. Say it again. He didn't say 100 things. His life wasn't just filled with 100 things. Now, he did 100 different things, but the one thing that he was going for more than anything else, that's focus. How many things are you focused in on? Brings it back to that question. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead. It's one thing. Fix your eyes. Hebrews chapter 12, isn't that where it says that looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame? I mean, and then it goes on to say, fix your eyes. Basically, it's saying, I'm paraphrasing, but get your eyes on Jesus. What did he do? He went for it. He had one purpose in mind, that was to please the Father. So, you know, you can't watch people around you and be focused. You can't compare yourself with other people's walk. You get caught up in the way they feel, and you fall into the way they're feeling. Man, a runner, someone who's going for us, is looking with focus. The psalmist, here's what David said. One thing I desired for the Lord, and that will I seek. Do you remember what it was? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever to behold his beauty. That was his one thing. He was king. Had a lot of opportunities, but the one thing was to get into the presence of God. Soren Kierkegaard was a philosopher, a believer. He said this in his book. He said, purity of heart is to will one thing. Purity of heart is to will one thing. Now, is there a key to focus? I believe there is. And I think Paul's saying it here. He said, I want to do one thing, but here's the key he gives. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What was the key? Forget what lies behind. Now, you got to get this one. You can't have focus if you're hanging on to the past. You got to get it. In other words, in order to will one thing, you're going to have to forget what lies behind and reach forward. Don't look back. You know, a runner, if you're picturing a runner, you don't see a runner looking back all the time. That runner, he sees that strip or whatever, that ribbon that's across that goal line. He's got his eyes on that. If he looked back too much, it would hinder him. It would slow him down. So he's got to focus in on the finish line. Focus in on the finish line. Focus in on becoming everything that Christ called you to become. And that is more like him. See, it's irrelevant. The clearest vision and focus is to forget the past. If your future is a little bit foggy, if vision is not really together, maybe you're thinking about the past too much. Maybe you got too many things hanging on, too much baggage that you're carrying along, and you can't get a clear vision until you forget the past. And guess what? We all have a past. Is that right? It's good, it's bad, and it can be ugly. It's all of them, right? We all have a past. But even the good past can become a negative thing in going on. Let me give you an example. There's a runner at the starting block. I'm certainly not a runner. You can tell that, can't you? But I know I've seen these guys running. But can you imagine this happening? There's six or seven guys line up, and this runner's ready to take off, and maybe they're going to do a mile. He turns to the guy beside him. He said, you know, I have a great success rate. I've won 100 races in the world in a row. And so he's talking about the past. He's talking about what he did in his past. But let me tell you what the problem is. None of that matters. It's that race that matters. He could have won 100 in the past. But to talk about it and to dwell on that when you're ready to run, you got to dwell on, how am I going to win this one? I've got to win. I got to go for this. I got to focus in on this race right now. I get my mind on this race right now. It's that race that counts. You hear people all the time, especially in the church. Unfortunately, here's what you hear. Well, it's just not like the old days. It's just not like it used to be. I've been around this thing long enough and in one church long enough to know you hear that. Now, I was part of those old days. I was part of those good old days. Yes, they were good old days. But if all I'm saying, well, it's just not like it used to be, or I remember the good old days, or we were doing this, or we were doing that, and it was so great. Do you know what I say about it all? It's absolutely irrelevant to today. It means nothing whatsoever. Oh, I rejoice in the things that God allowed us to do. I mean, there were great times. I like, you sit down and you go back memory lane. Well, you do that with your families, you do that with church activity. But to dwell on that, I'm going to lose my focus. My focus has to be, it's a new day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice in this day. You can't be saying, well, I had such a good day yesterday. You say that too much. Guess what? That particular day you're working on is not going to work out too good because you're thinking about the day before. This can be a good day. This is the day you could go for it. This is the day you could win the prize. This is the day you could get a breakthrough. And that's what we want to happen. What are you doing now is the bigger question. Now, the other side of the coin is this. People have a negative past, an ugly past. And I don't want to minimize anyone's hurts from the past, but do you know what happens? If you hold on to those grudges, if you hold on to the bitterness, if you hold on to the junk in the past, the disappointments, the discouragements, the hurts of the past, the habits, the hang-ups of the past, you're paralyzed. You cannot go forward. You're not going to win the race that's before you right now. And I fear there are just too many people have those things in their lives right now. And you have to look at your life. You have to desire a better condition. And you have to break loose. You have to go for it. Reach forward. Focus, concentration. One thing. Look what James says, chapter 1. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if you're double-minded, your faith is going to be, and the illustration in James there is like a ship with waves. You're up and down, up and down. Listen, the only thing that happens is you get seasick, right? You get Christian walk sick, if that's the kind of walk that you have. Let me give you the last one Paul brings out here. And it's verse 14. Look at verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. Say upward call. Upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Motivation. Just put the word motivation. Motivation comes from the word motive. What is your motive? My motive is that, and my motivation is that there's a day coming in the near future when Jesus Christ is going to call me home. My motivation is the fact that I have a promise in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 that there's coming a day when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive shall be caught up with the Lord to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Talks about the rapture of the church. Talks about that second coming of the Lord. Talks about when Jesus Christ is going to return with the saints to rule over that millennial kingdom that's going to come into existence. Man, I'm motivated by that. I want to stay motivated by that. I want to keep thinking about that. Oh, I'm thankful for what God has given me in this life, and I'll enjoy all of it. I want to go for it. But ultimately, it's going to happen. Jesus Christ, is that alive in your heart? Because that's your motive. That's your motivation. And it ties right with this prize that Paul's talking about. What is the prize? It's the upward call. And here's why that's the prize. I've already told you that the highest goal that we have is to become Christ-like, right? Now, let me tell you something. This is not negative. You're not going to be totally perfected in this life. You don't reach total perfection. Now, some people think they've reached total perfection. And they'll even tell you, in a way they live, that they reach, but you're not going to reach total perfection. Here's when you reach total perfection. When you see Jesus face to face. That's what the Bible tells us. There's going to something happens at that moment that we see him face to face. That is glorification. That is the sanctification at its fullest. Sanctification is something you get in salvation. It's something you work on during your life. It's something that's perfected in the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the process. So that's the goal. So the upward call, upward, some of your translations, the high calling, heavenly calling. That's what it is. It's a calling. You know what I think about when I thought about this week? The trumpet. The trumpet call. There's going to be a trumpet someday. It's going to sound. It's going to call us up. It's going to call us into the presence of God. So here's what I say about that. We must live in the light of being called out of this world into the presence of God. I got to live in that light. That's my motive. That's my motivation. I am called to a higher calling. I'm called to a better walk. I'm called not to keep doing the same old, same old, same old things that I did before I knew Christ. Or I grew a little bit and then I stopped growing and keep doing those things over. Where are you growing today? Where do you need to grow today? Where do you need to be perfected today? Paul had a full, beautiful, fruitful Christian walk with Christ. But he still said, I'm not there. God by grace, and this is an amazing thought, folks. Think about it. God by grace lifted you out of your darkness, lifted you out of your despair, lifted you out of your hopelessness, took you from a place where you really didn't know what was going to happen in this life or if you believed in any life after it all. And yet Jesus Christ comes back, and the gift of grace, the salvation provided at the cross of Calvary and through his resurrection, he lifted you up. But by lifting you up, here's what he had in mind when that happened. Now I'm going to make you like my son. Wow. God's willing to put that much into it? To take us from that kind of life and now make us like his son, to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The very thought of it sounds sacrilegious, that I can be like God. I didn't say it though. Jesus said it. God promised, I want you to be like my son. Why? Because that's the thing that will glorify God the Father more than anything else. He was bringing us in that relationship. Look at 2 Timothy, one of the last verses here now. Paul said there, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. There's coming a day when that is going to happen. Would you stand with me, please? There's one more verse in verse 15, and I'll read this to you as you're standing and getting ready, because we're not through with the service yet. We're going to come back, and we're going to sing this song that we sang just before the message. It had the words in it of running after, embracing the presence of God. And I want you to take a moment, and let's not run off too quickly. I don't mean physically, but don't let your minds run off to what you're going to be doing next. Maybe these next moments could be the breakthrough that you need in your life. Maybe there's a stagnancy that's set in somewhere. Or maybe there's just a lack of motivation that has crept in. And that the call, the trumpet call, the coming of Christ, and that it could happen at any moment, maybe it's not alive in your heart like it needs to be. I want to tell you, in the early church, they held on to that. They held on to that. They longed for Jesus to come back. Matter of fact, they thought it was going to be in their lifetime then. You ought to think it's going to be in your lifetime now, because there's a motivation behind that. There's focus behind that. There's a goal behind that. That prize, that line is always before you. And maybe you're dwelling too much. You've been around and you've experienced the good times and you're thinking, why can't it be like the good times? Listen, folks, times change. Culture changes. People change as we go along life. It's different. You got to minister differently. People are not going to respond like they used to respond all the time. But you still have to be who God called you to be. You still can have the goal to become more Christ-like and be fruitful for him. Maybe you've had so many hurts in your life. maybe a breakup, maybe a couple breakups, maybe so many disappointments, maybe your husband doesn't treat you the way you would like to be treated, or vice versa. And as a result, you just harbor those things, and there's not that joy in your marriage. There's not that reward of in your life that you would like to be there. There could be all kinds of things. And you might not even be able to put words to what's happening, but that's why we have God, the Holy Spirit, to come. He ministered the word, made us aware of four things. Number one, be aware that there's a better place to go. We haven't gotten there yet. Let's go for it. Let's focus in. Let's be motivated by the fact that Jesus is calling us home. Don't run off too quickly. Sing this song. I'm going to pray. Go right into the song. And if there's a need for prayer, I'm going to ask during the song our prayer teams to come on up. If you want someone, if you want a breakthrough, and you need someone to pray. I prayed for someone last night. They just said, listen, I've got this going for me, but there's this one area I'm so hung up. Man, I just felt God break through in that person's life. This could be a defining moment for you. So let's pray. Father, your word is such a help to us, Lord, in every way. And I pray that as we look at the Apostle Paul and the things that he said to us, Lord, he's talking about us, the ability to grow, and we don't want anything to hinder us. So, Lord, if we're hung up in talking about the past all the time and not really looking and pressing on to get what you have for us in the future, forgive us, Lord. We want breakthrough. Lord, if there are hurts and habits and hang-ups and disappointments and bitterness and grudges that we're still holding on to, we want to be free of those things, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit, while we sing this song.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road. We'll be right back.